And now, live across this big, brown, flat, mysterious, crazy country, it's Martin Malloy with McMalloy and Tony Martin.
And today, we take a closer look at Greg Norman's mystery ball. What's the story? Is it a forgery? We'll find out. Also today, Crime Watch, that 60 Minutes gun debate. Is Keanu Reeves hiding out at Byron Bay? And on Radio Gladiators, we'll ring in the new financial year. We'll kick off week two of Radio's sorriest spectacle, Beat the Beasley. And joining us in the studio, the woman you love to mob, Gillian Anderson from The X-Files. Yes, it's all coming up on the program that's Radio's equivalent of the Northern Territory. That's right, it's where old jokes come to die. Martin Malloy. It's Melissa Etheridge. Good afternoon, Australia, and welcome to another week of it, another week of Martin Malloy with myself, Tony Martin, and this bloke over here, a man who's sleeping in a bit, having been reclassified as suitable only for after 9:30 p.m. Mick Malloy!
Yeah, that's me.
You got me in one.
Not just what you broadcast, but every single aspect of your life has been declared suitable for only 9:30 at least.
And I'm not going to get up before then.
Good
that's
on
why
you.
It's going to happen.
Well, it's a miracle you're here today, but yep. I know you've come in specially because you're always ready to tell us what Greg Norman's up to. And what's happened now?
Well, the big news in sport today is the shock news that Greg Norman, a.k.a. The Shark, has disqualified himself from the Greater Hartford Golf Open after just two rounds because he used a non-conforming golf ball.
Oh, dear.
Norman, who was in equal fourth place after the second round, disqualified himself after learning of the error, and Tone, so he should. What's he think he's doing playing with a non-conforming golf ball? That's just asking for trouble, isn't it? Isn't it? Did you see the golf ball he was using?
Now, what is a non-conforming golf ball?
I couldn't see anything wrong with it myself. Yeah. It certainly looked like it was towing the standard golf ball line. I couldn't see any evidence of non-conformity. It was small. It was round. It was white. It was landing on the greens at regular intervals. He wants to come and watch me play around. I'll show him some non-conforming golf balls. Every ball in my golf bag is an edge. Loner with a mind of its own. Anyone who's ever encountered one of my golf balls bouncing off the back of their noggin or crashing through their lounge room window will verify the cheeky blighters just won't do as they're told. That's non-conformity, Greg. You know what was wrong with his ball, Tone?
What was
you know
it?
What it was?
What?
It had the wrong markings.
Yeah.
His ball was incorrectly marked XS9 instead of XS90.
Oh, well.
And he would have gotten away with it too if it wasn't for you meddling kids. They left the nought off, Tone. Oh. Can you believe that?
You're joking.
They left the nought off his ball. Mind you, he was taking it a lot better than he would have if they'd left a nought or two off his paycheck. Then you'd see some fireworks.
A non-conforming paycheck.
Oh, yeah. That wouldn't have gone down too well. But what amazes me, Tone, is he found out and fessed up.
Yeah.
He's dropped himself in the poop. Why didn't he just belt it into a dam and go, oh, no, oh, bummer. Oh, the ball's lost. I'll have to pull out one of my other correctly stamped XS90s because that's what your ordinary golfer would have done.
Yeah.
If you whack one into the trees and can't find your ball, you walk around for 5 minutes before flipping one out of your pocket and going, found it. I've played with blokes who've teed off with a top flight and pulled a hot dot from the cup and still penciled in a birdie for the hole. I played around with a mate whose ball changed colour three times on the front nine. It went from white to orange to green. At one stage, it landed in the back of a ute driving down the freeway beside the sixth fairway, yet somehow he was still a couple of shots under the card after nine holes. That's the spirit in which golf should be played.
Yep.
Cheat your pants off. Use every trick in the book. I am yet to hand in a scorecard, Tony Martin, that isn't a complete work of fiction. The one I filled in on the weekend is up for this year's Miles Franklin Award. It'll be out soon in paperback or hardcover. Have a read. You won't believe your eyes. Still, Greg's made his decision and good luck to him. Mind you, I saw him on the practice fairway yesterday and I think the new company who provide his golf balls may be frigging him around as well.
Oh, what's happening?
Because everyone he hit just burst into a big cloud of white powder. I hope he was straight on the phone to the trick shop to check out that at least labelled them correctly.
To the studios of Channel 9 for what promises to be a very serious 60 Minutes debate on the issue of gun controls. And now here's your host, Richard Carlton. Guns and Australia. It's a hot potato, and tonight
We're going to attempt to peel it, but it won't be easy. We've got less than 20 minutes to engineer as many hysterical and simplistic outbursts as possible, whilst thoroughly clouding this most complex and sensitive of issues. So let's begin with some irrelevant bullshit in the next studio. Armourer, if you could please fire that bolt action 22. Armourer, could you please fire that double-barreled shotgun? And now, Armourer, could you please fire whoever it was who decided to open this debate with a display of firepower clearly calculated to inflame the shooting victims scattered throughout our audience? What the...
Sorry, couldn't resist.
Give that gun back to the Armourer, Mr. Drain, and return to your seat.
Sorry.
Right. If we could begin with some kind of emotive catchphrase. Anybody?
Yes, Richard, could I just use the phrase, dealers in death?
Yes, I think we could accept that. Now, if we could go over to the other side, could I have an ill-researched and irrelevant statistic?
Yeah, listen, you got 10 times as much chance of being run down by a bus than you have of being shot in this country.
Fairly inflammatory. I'd suggest that deserves a round of incoherent catcalling. Do we have a Melbourne talkback radio personality with us?
Over here.
Well put. Ted Drain, would you like to say a few words before you're cut off by a hysterical Sydney journo and never referred to again?
Certainly. I think it's important to retain...
Listen, you've got to wake up yourself, pal. People like you.
Do we have a woman shouting meaningless statistics out of all context?
68%.
And where's the rather strident woman dressed like a man who we've only included to fire up the rednecks?
I'm here, Richard, and I've got some more contradictory statistics. 59%. That's right, boys. 59%.
Okay, now we're cooking. Time to introduce our token opportunistic right-wing nutcase.
Hi, Graham Campbell here.
Care to big note yourself for a few moments?
Love to, Richard. I've still got a bullet which I carry round with me after I personally overpowered 50 armed yahoos. No ninjas in my lounge.
Sorry, Graham. Just time for another statistic.
52%.
Another emotive catchphrase.
Violence on television.
A volley of shots from the armourer. And finally, someone who doesn't like the way the media are portraying gun owners as fools.
Yeah, that's bloody right, Richard, and I just like to bloody say that we don't want them bloody military guns anyway, and they can go to buggery.
Well, sir, is this what you want? A pump-action shotgun?
Yeah.
And how much does a gun like this sell for on the black market?
Oh, about $2,000.
Is correct. And you can collect that on the way out. And I think we can stop now, as we've got enough sensationalist one-liners for the promo. So I'll ask you all to make your points, whatever they might be, simultaneously. Good night.
Listen here. Can I just say...
Right, and Mickey, I think it's about time for a quick look. Inside the Martin Malloy Galaxy of Stars...
Because over the weekend, Kevin Costner... You remember Kevin Costner?
From
with the gills.
Ah, of course. Over the weekend, he's come out and confirmed what the women's mags have been suggesting for weeks. Yes, he's on with Elle Macpherson. Congrats, Kev. And Costner says that at last he's found someone who's his equal. Someone whose film career appears to have stalled as well. I don't know. But since splitting with longtime boyfriend Tim Jeffries, Elle has been seen out with Sean Penn, Richard Gere, Jack Nicholson, Oliver Stone, Greek Prince Nikolaos, John F. Kennedy Jr. and our own Pete Smith, but is apparently head over heels with Costner, who, as one friend says, adores El's zany sense of humour. Yeah, I love El's zany sense of humour. Mickey, remember when she came in on the show and she said she thought you were a real spunk? I tell you what, I was laughing. But
yeah.
Yeah, well, what's your point?
What I meant was, remember when she came in on the show and tipped a plate of spaghetti in my lap before running out of the room with her underpants on her head? That was zany. But anyway, the relationship was sealed over a romantic barbecue where Costner hired a guitarist to serenade Elle. Unfortunately, it was Keanu Reeves, and Elle left in disgust. Now, Keanu, while we're talking Keanu, he's apparently been sighted lurking around Byron Bay. According to reports on the weekend, well, it was either Keanu or a beached melon-head whale with a mohawk. The new-look family-sized Keanu was barely recognised by locals as he frolicked on the foreshore with a local beach gal, as the papers put it. Now, have you had a brush with Keanu, listeners? Fax us here. Tell us what happened. If you think you saw the man himself, was he playing a guitar? Did he have the mohawk? Had he stacked on? Call us with the details, or rather fax us here at Martin Malloy, 1-800-816-679. 1-800-816-679. It's free.
Mm.
It's free, and it's fun. That's right. L.A. Hooker Divine Brown.
I love the way you just seamlessly move into another area. L.A. Hooker Divine Brown. I'm all in.
Well, she's surprisingly still famous for her encounter with Hugh Grant and is being sued by her pimp. This is true. For a slice of the $225,000 she made for revealing all about her brief sesh with the foppish Brit film star. Brown says that if the pimp wants a share, he must also pay half of the many penalties she's incurred as a result of the incident. She was, of course, fined for lewd behaviour, abusive language, and I didn't realise this, but Grant's car was actually clamped during their infamous encounter. So we'll keep you up to date on that one. Australians are still in mourning after the Channel 7, the ruthless dismissal of baby John Burgess. That's the only words I can think of to describe it. He's been dismissed from the job that's been rightfully his for the last 12 years, i.e. steering that big wheel of fortune safely home every weeknight. And did you see these comments from Sam 7 Minion in the paper today? A spokesman for the network said Burgess had retired. Yeah, right. The very same way Paul Keating retired on March 2nd. The same way John F. Kennedy retired in Dealey Plaza back in 63. Baby John was pushed. And if you think he's going to go quietly, Seven, you're wrong. Mark my words, any day now you're going to open your papers, people, and read about a newly re-moustached and beautifully coiffed Burjo locking himself in Kerry Stokes' office with 200 pounds of high explosive strapped to his chest, threatening to pull the pin unless reinstated. Am I right? You wait and see. You wait and see. And finally, our old buddy, alleged Unabomber Ted Kaczynski, he's been moved to California for his trial at last. Kaczynski is being kept in a high-security 4-metre by 3-metre cell, which he complains is far too roomy. It's you here at Martin Malloy, and in the next hour, Gillian Anderson is going to be in here, and we're going to attempt to give her the mobbing to which she's accustomed. Mm-hmm. We're going to get everybody in here and just mob her.
I'm going to break 6 of her ribs in the crush.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, you wait and see. Just so that she feels at home.
Yep.
All right, good on you. Now, also on Friday night, the Martin Malloy website on the big worldwide internet got fired up for business.
It snuck on.
It certainly did. And listen, I'm going to give the address out, but I'll do that in a moment. So go and get your pen and paper now, because it's a long one, as they tend to be. So get your pen and paper now. And while you're doing
a few dots in there.
Yeah,
I'll a few comms.
A couple of comms, a couple of dots, and a few slashes as well. Also, Beat the Beasley is continuing week 2 in the next hour. Do we need to know anything about that? I'm surprised.
We do. Anything we could glean would help.
All right. Well, there was some suggestion that the questions were a bit hard last week, so we'll try and ease them up a bit. Also, we've got Radio Gladiators coming up, and you've probably got your pen and paper now. So, Pete, could you give us the NetSite address?
http://martinmalloy.village.com.au.
That's it. All right. And he's memorised that. He's ready to say it at a moment's notice.
What kind of address is that?
I don't know.
And how would you ever remember that?
Well, it sounds pretty Martin Malloy. It's got the word Martin Malloy in it. Mm. It's got the word slash in it a couple of times. And it's got a colon. So it sounds like our show anyway. But tell you what, let's move on from that and let's have ourselves a Martin Malloy Crime Watch. Oh, by the way, just before we get to Crime Watch, can I just say...
Well, do I get the intro music again?
You'll get the intro right. music. The website ain't just a couple of pictures of us.
Oh, no.
And a couple of, you know, email us here.
Mm-mm.
There's about an hour's worth of reading there.
Oh,
there's
yeah.
the Martin Malloy virtual chair.
Oh, don't give it all away.
There's all kinds. There's a list of every single person we've had on the show and one thing that they said, which took us bloody hours to fish out of them. Tapes!
There's a lot of made-up stuff. There's a few different files to go into. There's hours and hours of fun.
I don't want people to think that it's just some kind of shonked-up press release masquerading as a bit of interactive art. It's not. It's proper. And let's have ourselves that Crime Watch, shall we?
That's the way I like it. Listen to this, Tone. Hungry armed robbers ambushed a pizza delivery man and stole pizzas in a daring weekend attack in Melbourne.
Oh, yeah.
Two armed men confronted the pizza delivery van driver, demanding pizza or cash. I thought, that's an ugly little incident, isn't it? There's a couple of blokes who must really enjoy their pizza. Do you reckon they've been planning that? Do you reckon they've been sitting around at headquarters with little models going, right, here's the pizza shop, here's the route. As the van comes around the corner here, it's exposed on all sides and has to slow down. You cover me from the grassy knoll. Trust me, it's a turkey shoot. It's a turkey shoot. Were they acting alone? Was there someone in the book depository? Was their leader back at headquarters sitting in a chair stroking a big white cat? Maybe they just waited far more than their around 30 minutes and took matters into their own hands. No. I hope this doesn't start a trend.
Oh, no.
Or we'll have to start getting our pizzas delivered in armour guard vans. The only way to tell if a security van is handling a week's wages or a couple of caprichosas will be whether it's got a big red telephone on the roof. Have we done that joke before?
I don't think we have, have we?
And not in this time slot. There's going to be another Crime Watch relating to my reusing of jokes. And what about the robbers, Tone? I wonder how they divvied up the loot.
Oh,
do you think they were back at headquarters, just surrounded by pizza boxes, throwing bits of Hawaiian in the air going, we're rich, we're rich, we'll never have to work again.
This is Martin Malloy.
And if you think that a little chorus like that is going to change my view, then you are very sadly mistaken.
Brought to you by absolutely nobody.
Welcome back to Martin Malloy, where it's time for another week of this.
Radio Gladiators, your chance to represent your state and win fame, glory, and fabulous prizes. Here's today's challenge.
Can you feel it in the air, Mickey? Can you sense it? It's a new financial year.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I love the new financial year.
It's all ahead of us.
In China, is it the new financial year of the rat?
Do they go the financial year of the rat?
They're celebrating over there. Yeah. All right, well, here's what we're talking about today. Outrageous tax claims, because I suppose it's tax time now.
That'd be right.
Theoretically, it is. And people start making them outrageous claims. There's a story in the paper today about a female secretary who claimed tax for the cost of dyeing her hair because her boss preferred blondes. And also someone else, you've got your panel beaters claiming watchdog expenses, and then the tax department have investigated and turns out to be a miniature poodle, which had been debarked. Can you get your poodle debarked, can you?
Mm.
That doesn't sound right.
Yeah, well, you know, it's not pleasant.
What about this bloke, just going off on a tangent, this bloke who's first in the queue for euthanasia up the Territory?
Mm.
It's a pretty sorry story, admittedly. Mm. But I'm reading in the paper today that before he's headed for the Territory, he's had his dog and his two cats put down.
Mm.
That's taken the equation a bit far, isn't it?
Well, you're going to ask someone to feed them, but, you know, even good neighbours. That's a long time, Tone.
I hope
is that a deduction? Euthanasia? Can he claim that on his tax return?
Michael Waldrich, the federal, is he the health minister? I'm assuming he is. He's come out and declared that no euthanasia services will be able to be claimed on Medicare.
Mm.
Now, how exactly does a dead person pop down the Medicare office and fill out the forms? That's what I want to know.
You'll be dead by the time the Medicare department gets to work on it anyway.
Well, we're not talking about Medicare. We're talking tax claims, outrageous claims. I'm just seeing if there's any more in the paper here. We've got a woman who actually claimed fees paid to Weight Watchers because her employer wanted her to have a good figure. We got employers wanting staff to be trim and blonde.
Mm.
Where are these coming from?
I don't know, but they're not working on this station, obviously.
Oh, I see.
Look at us.
Okay. Fair enough. And what about... Oh, well, there's quite a few there, which I don't want to go into, but do you get into this, Mickey? I remember a few months ago, you attempted to claim for three slabs of VB, which you reckon helped inspire our competition, shoot the celebrity in the arse.
It's how we operate, Tone.
Without it, we're nothing.
Well, comedians do.
It's as important as our pens. Do you claim for your pens?
I claim for pens.
For your pens. Do you play for your, claim for your stationery?
I claim.
Yes, you do. Well, why don't you claim for your beers? You know what else I claim for?
What's that?
Acid wash. Acid wash? No, because it comes under uniform. It says if you have a uniform, you can claim for it. Acid wash is a uniform.
What about...
We work in radio, buddy. There's no alternatives. Tracky dacks or acid wash.
And that cape you're wearing, is that...
I'm working on that. I'm going to try and slip that through.
But comics will try this. I actually know of a bloke who tried to claim 2 bags of marijuana as a work-related expense, and that's a true story.
I hear you.
What about in-store Santas? Would they be claiming cricket protectors?
Of late, they might be. We also get to claim, magazines?
Oh, yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah,
magazine stuff. How do you think my collection of Hustler will go? Can I put a claim in?
If you do a couple of segments based around him, I reckon you'd get away with that.
Righty.
What about Roger Daltrey? Would he be claiming for that eye patch I see he's wearing?
Thanks to Gary Glitter.
Got a headbutt from Gary Glitter.
There's a story.
But listen, that's what we're looking for. We're looking for real ones.
Real ones. Ones you've made yourself or ones you may know of a friend has made, whether they've been allowed or disallowed. You know, don't give us the names if it's a bit hot.
No, that's right. We want it can be you or it can be somebody else you want to dob in. And do we have a prize, Gracie? Oh, good to hear the mood fired up for another week. Listen to this, people. Step into the prize lounge for a moment. As I inform you that if you win today on Gladiators, you'll win tickets for you and a friend to see John Farnham live in concert, plus a Martin Malloy T-shirt, just the icing on the Farnham cake. But that's not all. You'll also go into the draw when this Friday Pete Smith will be dipping into the barrel and sending two people to stay at the wonderful, that's wonderful, it's officially been declared wonderful according to this document I have in my hand, new 4-star Port Douglas treetops. It's not a bunch of treetops. It's a spectacular resort. That's what it is. You'll be flying Ansett and you'll be staying 7 nights. And who is that courtesy of him? Is that just courtesy of Martin Malloy? It's just courtesy of your friends Mick and Tone. Call us now with your outrageous but real tax claims. 1-800-657-657. Always brings us out in tears here at Martin Malloy. That's Celine Dion, Because You Love Me. That's the theme from that film that's out at the moment, and I'm not sure what it's all about. As far as I can tell, it's the story of the relationship between Michelle Pfeiffer and her grandfather.
Oh, yeah, he's looking good, isn't he?
Up close and personal, but this is Radio Gladiators. It's the first day of a brand new financial year. It's time to start making them shonky tax claims, people, and we want to hear about them. Ones you've made yourself or ones you've heard about. Who have we got on the line? Mickey.
It's Paul. Hello, Paul.
Good day. How are you?
How are you?
Not too bad.
Now, does this claim concern you or someone you know?
Well, it's a friend of mine who works in the hospitality industry, shall we say.
Yeah.
And it's rather problematic, the job that he's got. He got sent home early from work one day and asked to come back about an hour later.
Mm-hmm.
So he heads home and he's coming back and has a horrific car accident and decides that he's going to claim the repairs on his next tax return.
Oh, right, as a work-related expense.
Was he keeping a log in that car? after the accident and the car rolled over, did he reach in the glove box and fill in his log? Because they'll want to see that.
Well, the worst thing is he's an accounting student.
Oh, I see, so he should have known. That's a great idea. If you're claiming a work-related, as you're rolling over, you know, 312, flipping over. Yeah, I think you'd have to go that if it was to be accepted. That's a shonky one. Thanks, Paul. Next, we've got Nola. Are you there, Nola?
Yes, hi, boys.
Hi, how are you today?
Not too bad, thanks.
You've been making some shonky claims?
No, look, this is my husband, and he's going to try and claim this one this year. We don't know how it'll go, but he's a funeral director.
Yes.
And a few months ago, he tried to stop a widow jumping into the grave, so he tackled her and she ripped the sleeve right out of his jacket.
Is that a true story?
Yes, it is.
Is that natural wear and tear? How are you classifying that?
Well, we're not really sure, but there's not much use for the jacket now, so we cut both sleeves off. My son wears it.
He'll be wearing it to next year's Melbourne Cup with a pair of football shorts and long socks.
Well, he's the best dressed kid at school anyway.
But without wanting to go into an unpleasant area, Nola, is that a common thing? People just going the mosh on the deceased, jumping in there?
Absolutely. Look, it's an ethnic thing, and we won't say who actually
does
it, but it
happens
all the time.
Fair enough.
There's a kind of Benny Hill chase sequence going on, graveside.
All right. Well, thanks. Good luck with that claim, Nola, and I'm sure nobody from the tax department listens to this program. And Next, we've got Mark on the line. You there, Mark?
Yeah, mate. How you going?
Not bad. Tell us about your claim.
Well, place I used to work at a few years ago, and the foreman before me, who left just before I got there,
right.
He used to claim his dog as a dependent.
Oh, really? Well, I suppose that's quite... I think that's acceptable, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, and then when the dog died, he claimed the funeral expenses as well.
Oh, see, no, he didn't try and chase that dog into a grave, ripping the sleeve off a funeral director, did he? Right. Well, that's all going to hit the tax office at the one time. They're going to be knee-deep in it down there.
I suppose you'd have to get someone round from the tax department and prove that the dog was a dependent.
Well, I think they took a video of him in shorts and a T-shirt, you know, to make it authentic.
And, like, yeah, after you've taught it to sit and roll over, what you can claim education as well, can you?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
I did.
It's unstoppable. All right, thanks, Mark. We've got Simon next. Simon, tell us your story.
Yeah, how are you, fellas?
Not bad.
A mate of mine a couple of years ago used to drive a few female escorts around, and he found out how much money they made, so he decided to get into the male escort side of things.
Good thinking.
Oh, really?
Good for him.
Well, he did this for a while, and about 7 or 8 months down the track, he sort of realised how much he was spending on condoms, so he actually tried to claim that on his tax return.
Did he? I tried to do the same, but when they found out I was just blowing them up and bursting them with the end of my cigarette, they said, no, I'm sorry, Mr. Malloy.
Too many water bombs.
And, Simon, was he successful with that one?
He was, yes.
Because he really, so any male escorts listening...
Keep your receipts. Keep the receipts. I think it's the way to go.
Don't be embarrassed.
They didn't want evidence, just the receipts.
All right, thanks, Simon. And now we've got, I think it's pronounced Lorelei. Is that right, Lorelei?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, what are you claiming for?
Well, it's not me. It was last year, and it was a business associate of mine.
Yes.
He came down from Brisbane and went somewhere like the men's gallery and claimed that.
Oh, the men's gallery that's in Melbourne.
Yes.
Now, just explain what the... You notice how I know. That's a bit of a giveaway. Tell us what the men's gallery is. It's not a kind of an art joint, is it? It's not a...
Well, no, not really.
It's a Norg bar. Let's face it, that's what it is.
Mm.
And, right, and did he get away with that one?
Oh, definitely. He wasn't even questioned about it, apparently.
Oh, dear, oh dear. Not until after this segment. Gee, oh, if that's a legitimate claim, that Charlie Sheen, he's going to be swimming in rebates this day.
So he's putting money in the women's underpants, and the tax officer's returning it to him.
Oh, definitely.
Well,
yes.
That's a nice scam, isn't it?
And there's a man from the tax office come around. And
he does. Puts on the sexy music, stuffs it in your dirps.
All right.
No, that's the tax office for your time. They'll do anything they can.
Well, that's a successful one. Thanks, Lorelei. And now we've got Leanne. You there, Leanne?
Yes, I am.
Tell us about your tax claim or somebody you know.
No, I was engaged to a police officer.
Mm-hmm.
And he used to claim up to $200 per year for informants fees.
And was he successful with that one?
Well, I don't know. I mean, they didn't really give him a receipt.
Exactly.
And did he declare his bribes?
Oh, I don't know.
No, he's just...
Probably not.
And we're just interested in this. When he used to get together with other cops, to show that he wasn't wired, did they used to hang around together in the nude? That's something we've been reading about. It goes on, at least in New South Wales, apparently.
Well, anything's possible, isn't it?
Oh, right, yes. Not many claims there in the uniform side. But, okay, Leanne, that's a beauty. Claiming for informers' fees. But is it our winner, Mickey?
No, Tony, I reckon just for the hell of it, we're probably going to have to go back up to Nola.
The funeral director's outfit because it got ripped to shreds by a hysterical mourner. You there, Nola?
Yes, I'm here. My cheer squad would just like to go, hooray!
Well, even if you're not successful...
Is your son there in the jacket?
Well, if you don't get that... Oh, I can hear them now. Yes, that's jubilation. And we'll see what happens when you actually get to the tax department with the form. But in the meantime, you've got yourself tickets to see John Farnham live.
Oh, that's fantastic. I didn't even know what the prize was.
And Martin Malloy T-shirt.
Oh, you fantastic.
You can claim on those.
Exactly. We do. And you've also gone into the draw for a trip for two, staying at the new 4-star Port Douglas Treetops.
Oh, wow.
Flying Ansett, and that'll be drawn this Friday. So be listening then on Martin Malloy. There you go. Bit of satellite trouble. She didn't know what the prize was. She's just found out what the show is. Oh, dear. It was
there. There you are, Nola. All right, thanks. Congratulations, Nola. Thanks for playing.
Thanks very much.
And we'll be back in the next hour, people, with, well, a woman who's been treated hysterically from the moment she stepped off a plane here in Australia, Gillian Anderson.
This is Martin Malloy, brought to you by Absolutely Nobody.
Boy, House of Parfum. We'll have Beat the Beasley entering its second week. And next up, Gillian Anderson from The X-Files on Martin Malloy.
Oh, Martin Malloy. Loads of pointless competitions. We've got them. Lots of juvenile noises. We've got them. And for technical malfunction, to Martin Malloy. It sucks, it's Martin Malloy.
Sent us for the last week. She's out here thanks to the good people at Foxtel, where, of course, you can see her show, The X-Files, uncut and uninterrupted every Sunday night at 8:30. Please, people, no pushing. It's Gillian Anderson. Gillian, thanks for coming in today.
Thank you for having me.
Now, how long have you been here in Australia?
In Australia, I've been here for about six days.
And how are you coping?
I've just kind of seen it from car windows and stuff like that, so I haven't really gotten a great view of it. I did go to the zoo last week and went scuba diving with some sharks.
You went diving with some sharks. How was that? Did you mean to go diving with sharks? Was that an accident?
It was actually. Well, it wasn't an accident. We have just been in Bali, mm-hmm. and my friend and I went snorkeling, and we said to somebody at Fox, "Well, we just went snorkeling. Can we do it again?" Mm-hmm. And so they put us in a tank with sharks.
Right. And were all the sharks going, "Look, it's her off the X-Files"? Does that happen everywhere you go, not just in Australia? Do you walk down the street and it's her off the X-Files? Are you going to have to write a book like Leonard Nimoy, I Am Not Scully, something like that?
There are some cities that like New York, that I can very easily walk down the street completely.
Everyone's too cool.
Everyone's too self-obsessed, I think. They're so, you know, focused on their own world and life and business that they just don't even pick their heads up.
Do you feel comfortable with being someone who's downloaded on the internet? And subjected to such an enormous amount of attention? How does that sit with you?
I don't know. I try not to think about it too much. And mm-hmm. and until I put myself in these kind of situations where I have to talk about myself all the time, I don't really actually think about it.
Now, I noticed one thing. On The X-Files, you're constantly wearing sensible clothes. You're wearing long coats. You're running about with torches. But the magazines love to go to the opposite extreme. I'm often seeing you in mags, in the vinyl gear, in outrageous clothing. Is that a release for you?
I think it's been a publicity attempt to show audiences and also other people in the film business that I can be less restricted than Scully is.
Right. Are you looking to jump over to the movies, Gillian, at this point? Or?
Yeah. Casually, I've been in that process.
And what kind of things do they... Is it all spooky stuff that they send you?
No, fortunately, it's not. Fortunately, there's been a very wide range of scripts and roles and big films, little films.
Right. Now, there's been a bit of talk about the X-Files movie. I know a lot of people have been asking us to mention that to you. Is it going to happen or...?
It is going to happen. I have no idea when. I don't know how far along Chris is in writing a script or when they plan on shooting it, but... it will happen.
Right. And what about upcoming episodes of The X-Files? Is there another series on the production line there?
Yep. We're going back to shoot a fourth season in mid-July.
Can you tell us anything that's going to happen? I mean...
I wish I knew. I honestly don't know. I don't even know what's happening in the first episode of the fourth season.
I'm imagining Mulder's going to get hit over the head. That seems to happen. How many times has he been hit over the head in that show?
Oh, I can't recall.
Quite a few times. And usually he loses his gun at exactly the same time.
Trapped on a train, knocked on the head, losing the gun. Yeah. I noticed his character's changed a little bit. I watched the first episode of The X-Files recently on video, and he was much more wisecracking in the early episodes, whereas now he's sort of more straight down the middle. But it seems that the less he does, the more interested people are in him. How has your character changed since those early episodes?
Well, I think that, while I was trying to figure out who Scully was and at the same time that we were filming, I think at the beginning she was quite two-dimensional on paper and also in my performance of her. And I think as I have gotten to learn more about her and experience her more. Right. I think she's getting more three-dimensional.
When you were doing those very early episodes, did you think it was going to get to this stage? Did you think you'd be doing an X-Files movie, that you'd be doing five seasons, everyone would be going mad?
No, I don't think any of us did.
When was the first vibe you got for it? When did you start to think, hang on, we're onto something here?
It started to pick up from purely a cult perspective pretty early on, but it was pretty small, the response. And the amount of people who were interested was pretty small. And then just gradually, I think mostly through word of mouth and through good publicity by Fox, it just started to pick up and pick up and pick up. Mm-hmm. You know, like right now, Fox is putting out two episodes of Tombs on video with another video of Secrets of the X-Files and some trading cards. And
do you have much say in that kind of merchandising? Have they tried to spring stuff on you, go, we've got a doll, Scully doll?
There was only one time when either David or I said no, we were not happy with something, and so they changed it.
And what was that?
That was the cover of the CD, actually.
Oh, okay.
The cover of the CD was different to begin with, and we both weren't very pleased with it, and so they stuck an alien on the front.
Oh, okay. G'day, Steve Bedwell. You learn. That's Alanis Morissette. They're at
Martin Malloy.
And Gillian Anderson's stuck with us for another break. Gillian, the X-Files dance mix, do you put it on at your house? Do you drive away?
I actually just heard it for the first time yesterday.
Do you watch your own show? Do you sit down, do you go, oh, it's Tuesday night or whenever it's on in America, and go, almost time for the X-Files? Get yourself comfy. Let's have a look.
Well, we usually shoot about 14 to 16 hours a day, so the chances of me being in a comfortable spot on my couch at that time of night is highly unlikely. But I'll usually tape it or get a copy of a tape and watch it over the weekend.
Right. Now, we were reading something about you, and that is when the show was first starting, some of the executives felt that you weren't sexy enough for the role. Mm-hmm. Is that true? I mean...
I think they've talked about the fact that that I wasn't the first choice, and I felt that when I first went in. I think, Fox had a formula that you see in things like Melrose Place and 90210 of babes wearing tight clothing as leads, and that would draw in the audience. Right. And so Chris, I think, stepped up to the plate and said that that's not who this character is. We don't want somebody like that, because it would be wrong. And so
you don't want to see Pamela Anderson running about in a long coat with a torch.
Well, I see Tori spilling on the X-Files, unless it's the subject of an investigation.
Well, exactly. Exactly.
Into her death?
Possibly.
No, it was a question. Yeah. I was posing that question to you.
I think we're all on the same team here, Gillian.
Gillian, in your street where you live, say, is in Vancouver, do your neighbours come to you with stories of the paranormal and go, you can use that on your show? You getting that?
You know, I have gotten a couple scripts put in the mail.
Have you?
From neighbors. The difficulty is that were we to actually read scripts, there could be some ensuing lawsuits.
Oh, I see.
You know, because if any scripts were to come up or episodes were to come up that appeared to be similar to what they had written, even though they may not have had any relation to it at all, you know.
It'll be Gillian Anderson versus Mr. Thompson from across the road, who reckons he thought up the stretchy liver-eating long-armed bloke.
Well, it might actually be Chris Carter or Fox against him via me.
And how much of this do you buy into yourself? Are you someone who believes in UFOs and all of the subjects you see on the program, or are you fairly cynical?
I'm cynical about some things. I'm more cynical than I think I admit to being. But there are some things, some aspects of the paranormal that I'm interested in.
But when you get the script for the coming episode of The X-Files, are you blasé about it, or do you raise an eyebrow when you see a liposuction vampire bloke this week?
I think that we've been through so much with the show that I don't raise an eyebrow anymore. There's nothing really that shocks me.
And do you get any contact from members of, say, the CIA? We actually spoke to Chris Carter last year, and he said he often runs into people from the CIA.
You mean FBI?
Or FBI, yes. We're Australians. It's all the same to us, I'm afraid. Them blokes in the suits and saying that, you know, you've got too close and you're pretty on the mark with that plot line.
I think by them coming up to us and saying that we've gotten close is admitting to something I'm not sure that they're willing to admit to.
No, I see.
But I know that there has been some contact between FBI agents and Chris Carter at some point or another.
I see. But he's going to be audited sometime in the future, no doubt.
Yeah.
All right, Gillian, well, thanks for talking to us today. And there's so much written about you on the internet and in magazines and in newspapers. Can you tell us something that nobody knows about you, just before we go?
I have size 7 feet.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. You heard it here on Martin Molloy. Thanks for talking to us today, Gillian Anderson. For life, that's Ace of Base here at Martin Molloy. Thanks to Gillian Anderson for dropping by. I think she's tired of talking to people on the radio about the X-Files.
It's FBI, Tone.
I know. Yeah, big goofball.
Oh, what are you doing?
That'll be all over the net tonight.
He doesn't know what he's talking about.
But, of course, she's here promoting... Well, Foxtel brought her out, and you can see the X-Files on Foxtel, as I mentioned, uncut every Sunday night. And
uninterrupted.
That's right. And also the new X-Files... well, it's a video, but it's not just a video. It's a collector's cube, and it's in the shops now. I don't know what a collector's cube is, but it sounds damn spooky.
Is it got a Rubik's kind of element to it? Can you shuffle it around?
Well, I'm sure. I'm sure there's a puzzle component. Mm. I don't know what it is, but it's got the Tombs episodes, the stretchy liver-eating bloke who we love on the show. He's in there. Anyway, it's just X-Files gear galore down your video shop, and, well, it's Martin Molloy, so that means...
It's time to play Beat the Beasley. Here's how it works. Mick and Tony have commissioned the nation's finest designers, engineers and craftsmen to construct several frighteningly lifelike replicas of federal opposition leader Kim Beazley. Every day on Martin Molloy, one of these enormous structures will be dropped onto something fragile, tiny or defenseless. That is, unless you can correctly answer 5 questions and beat the Beasley. If you're successful, you'll win a Sanyo Olympic Home Entertainment Package, including a Sanyo widescreen TV, Sports Review VCR, enough pizza and Coke to get you through the games, and a cleaner to come to your place and deal with the aftermath. Okay, lads, roll out the Beasley.
Happy to beat Smith, and listen to that prize. The people at Sanyo have come good.
They've knocked something up, haven't they? What's that?
It's just you sitting on the couch,
yep,
watching the Olympics on your new telly, taping it on your Sports Review VCR, and you're surrounded by pizza and Coke, and when it's all over, the cleaner comes in and takes care of the mess.
Yes! That's every boy's dream.
All you have to do is beat the Beasley. What is today's massive Beasley constructed from, Mickey?
Golf balls.
Golf balls?
Yes. Well, ones used by Greg Norman over the weekend. They got him disqualified from the Open.
So it's made of illegal golf balls.
Illegal golf balls, Tone. What? Incorrectly labelled.
Incorrectly labelled. And we're going to drop them onto Greg Norman himself. And I'm sure a lot of people want to hear that.
And you'll see those incorrect labels indented into his forehead. That's how you'll tell they're illegal golf balls. You look at his forehead and you go, XS9? That's not legal. Well,
that'll learn him once and for all. So.
Why didn't he just pull out the liquid paper, Tone? Why didn't he just get a pen and fix it up himself?
And from what I understand, he dobbed himself in.
He did. He burned it up. He put his hand. He came out with his hands up. Said, "Don't shoot. I'm in possession of a legal golf ball."
And then he went down to the newspaper office and wrote an article about himself, calling him an idiot. That's the kind of guy he is. All right. If you'd like to beat the Beasley, or if you'd like to just hear Greg Norman get hit in the head by a whole bunch of golf balls, call us here at Martin Molloy, 1-800-657-657.
Martin Molloy.
And if you think that a little chorus like that is going to change my view, then you are very sadly mistaken.
Yes, that music tells us it's time to beat the Beasley here at Martin Molloy. Right around Australia, here's what we've done. We've constructed a massive replica of the federal opposition leader from illegal golf balls, like the ones Greg Norman was using on the weekend. And we're going to drop them onto Greg's head by popular demand, and only one person can stop that happening. Who is it going to be today, Mickey?
The lucky ducky is Andrew. G'day, Andrew.
G'day, boys. How you doing?
Not too bad, mate. How are you?
Oh, pretty good myself, yeah.
Play a bit of golf, do you?
No, but I do like to watch Greg Norman blow it all the time.
Oh, yes. There's no finer pastime.
In fact, I'm a bit worried that if I get them all right, I won't get to see the balls get dropped on him.
Well, oh, dear. We might be able to organise that for you anyway, Andrew. We'll see what we can do. And what exactly do you do for a job, Andrew? Just out of interest?
When I tell people what I do, they usually just say, so you're the bastard that puts the commercial breaks into the Channel 10 movies.
Oh, right. And are you the bastard who puts those commercial breaks in?
I am the bastard, yeah. I look at the movies and work out where the best place to put them is.
Well, you're putting too many in, buddy. They have to keep cutting episodes of The Simpsons.
Oh, no,
X-Files.
They don't. They don't. They don't cut the X-Files at all.
And, Andrew, where is The Simpsons? We saw like 7 episodes of what was purportedly a new series, and then it just stopped.
Well, they're in the vault, as far as I know, but that's a programming decision. So, you know what programming's like.
Certainly do.
I think you have to put up with this kind of interrogation every day, don't you, Andrew?
I certainly do, boy.
All right, mate.
We'll let you off the hook there.
Okay, let's beat the Beasley, shall we? Crane it into position, Gracie. I think you know how it works. When you hear the gunshot, which has been approved by the Prime Minister, we'll be firing the questions your way.
All right.
Any second now. Here we go. What is Greg Norman's nickname?
Sharky.
Yeah, well,
who's replacing Baby John Burgess on Wheel of Fortune?
Tony Barber.
Yes. Name the film star allegedly spotted in Byron Bay over the weekend.
Keanu Reeves.
Yes.
What is his current weight?
Oh, jeez.
Have a stab. Okay.
85 kilos.
Yes, that sounds pretty hefty. We'll take it. Who's that bald bloke who's always playing the trumpet on Hey Hey?
What's his name?
You want to pass, buddy?
Pass.
All right, who's the ball bloke on Murder One?
Pass.
Who is the little ball bloke on Benny Hill?
Oh, Jackie Wright.
Yeah! Oh, that's incredible!
And when did I get cut out of the loop? When was I told to stop asking questions? And when did that become a one-man show?
This goes on and on, Andrew, every day. Unless I speak up, I'm just edited out. Well, ever so subtly. Did you see that
job.
From questions 5 to 8? I got nothing. Not even a look in. And what was...
How did that happen? Is that illegal? Did he still get his television set?
Oh, yes, indeed. You've got the telly. You've got
fantastic.
The VCR. And you've also got, what is it? Somebody coming around to clean up after you finish watching the Olympics. That's part of the prize.
That's brilliant.
And Mickey, here's a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Who is that bald bloke always playing a trumpet on AA?
That's little Jackie Wright. James Morrison, I believe.
So, oh, that's him, yeah.
Andrew, you've got, you didn't know who the bald bloke was on AA. You didn't know who the bald bloke was on Murder One, Daniel Benzali, of course, but you could remember the little bald bloke on Benny Hill.
Oh, I was brought up with it, I'm afraid.
Oh, I see.
You used to put ads inside Benny Hill show, did you?
It wasn't all that long ago we repeated them.
Yeah, you weren't cutting the good bits out, were you, buddy?
No, we used to cut the chase scene out.
I think Benny used to cut the good bits out himself.
All right. Well, thanks for beating the Beasley today, Andrew. And, of course, all those prizes coming to you courtesy of Sanyo. And you know what? We've got a Beasley hanging here. Do you think we should cut it, Andrew?
If it's in the rules, then all right. Okay, do it.
Okay. Four! Nicely done.
Worth the wait, wasn't it?
Thanks, Andrew. Thanks for playing Beat the Beasley.
Okay.
Get back to ruining those movies.
I shall.
We'll be back with another Beasley, which may well be beaten tomorrow on Martin Malloy. Runaway, that's the cause here at Martin Malloy.
Hi, I'm Willem Dafoe. You remember me. Up until about 4 years ago, I was in every third high-profile art house movie released. Then I starred in Body of Evidence with Madonna. Since then, the only part you've seen me doing was Harrison Ford's helicopter pilot buddy in Clear and Present Danger, a role that, well, let's face it, could have been played by that guy who was Gopher on the Love Boat. Therefore, I'm taking this opportunity to let you know that I, Willem Dafoe, am available for odd jobs around your home. Why not have your gully trap cleaned out by the star of The Last Temptation of Christ? Let one of the principal players in David Lynch's Palme d'Or-winning Wild at Heart clear away that pile of old crap on your front veranda. Have your driveway swept down by somebody whose parents couldn't spell William. Of course, I'll still be demanding my own trailer and makeup person, but for all your round-the-house needs, just call my very good friends, Mick and Tony, and ask for Willem Dafoe. Oh, excuse me, I just got to get back to my day job. Tonight's Powerball numbers are 52, 17, 45, thanks Madonna, 74, 48.
At last, a fragrance for this slovenly woman. Slack Mole by L'Enforique. A unique new parfum for the woman with no self-esteem. The woman who wanders aimlessly around the supermarket in tracky dacks and moccasins. Slack Mole, the fragrance which dares to say, hey, I've really let myself go. If you couldn't give a stuff how you smell, this is the fragrance for you. Break free and tell the world just what you really are. Slack Mole by L'Enforique.
Also available, Dud Root for men.
Yes, I think it's time to sign off here at Martin Molloy. We've just been enjoying the cranberries with I Can't Be With You and going through the crumbs here, checking out what's on the telly. And who's
what
on?
You got?
Well, Water Rats is on Channel 9.
Oh, Tane, did you see this on the weekend? This annoys me. It's the season for it, I suppose. There's lots of stormy oceans and everyone's in a bit of trouble here if you get caught out there. Well, the water police have had to fish someone out of a river somewhere, and this is their standard response every time they have to do diddly that lot. They're angry.
Oh, yeah.
They're very angry. They're always going, I can't believe. Do your job, you pill. Do your job. And shut up! Does anyone else whinge like that when they have to go out and do something? The water police, they kick back, they do nothing for 6 months on end, finally have to fish a guy out, and then they stand there and go, oh, we're very angry. We are very, very angry. This is stupid. You know, well, get stuff. Do your job, you pill.
Well, they're very grumpy. Maybe that's what's wrong with Water Rat. Maybe Colin Freels, instead of going out and solving cases, he's got to sit behind his desk and go, oh, I can't believe the stupidity of the general public yet again. Bugger him! Somebody's fallen in the water! Now I'm going to have to get up and do something.
Oh, great. Another episode.
What else is on? You've got The Tower, and this is a very spooky-looking movie on Channel 7. It's Paul Reiser from Mad About You, stuck in a building which has turned on him. Somehow, everything in the building has turned on him. And I'm sure every time he goes near the photocopier, it's paper jam. It's just one big paper jam, as far as I can tell.
Imagine that on Mad About You. He'd be arguing with the wife. And the building.
Yeah.
It'll be a menage a trois.
Yeah.
Be kind of, you know, very...
What is the deal with the building?
But what about Gulliver's Travels? Have you been following that? It's Ted Danson. He's real big. And he's tied up by little people. And is he undergoing some kind of hair transplant when they've got him down there?
I've no idea. I thought someone had slipped me a dodgy cookie. I watched that in disbelief.
I'm going, wow, big's Ted Danson's head. Do we need to see that? That's what it looked like to me. It looked like a whole lot of little people giving him a strand by strand job. I don't know if that's what he was up to. And here's some more news. I just, hats off to the people in, the name of the town is Flatswood, Kentucky, because they're so keen on Billy Ray Cyrus. Remember Billy Ray's work? They've decided to name a street Billy Ray Cyrus Boulevard.
Right. They want to turn it into a quiet neighbourhood, obviously. Except what they're doing.
Well, that's a good way to do that. You know, if your neighbours are giving you trouble, just go down the council and go, would you mind if we started calling my street Billy Ray Cyrus Boulevard? That'll clear them
out. So how does it differ from any other street?
Oh.
You got a boot scoot?
When you're walking along the side of the road, you got a boot scoot everywhere? The postman boot scoots all the way up the street, that's right. And, imagine that.
They've got on the lights, they've got, you know, boot scoot, don't boot scoot. They're the signs at the intersection.
But imagine getting your gas bill. You've got, Mr. Smith, number 13, Billy Ray Cyrus Boulevard. You'd be sitting, oh, no. And I just moved out of Vanilla Ice Crescent, you know.
But whereabouts is it?
It's in Kentucky.
In Kentucky.
Okay. And hello to the bloke in Kentucky who listens to this show. There's a bloke in Kentucky. I don't know how he gets the program, but he sends us faxes from time to time. So hello to that bloke.
Whereabouts is the boulevard itself? Would you say it was in the achy-breaky heart of town?
Oh,
there.
Boo! I've still got it.
That's booed at the show, huh?
Stop me.
And tell you what, just before we go, once again, Pete Smith, could you favour us with the address to the Martin Molloy website?
http://martinmolloy.village.com.au.
Okay, your work here is done. You can go home knowing that you've done a fine job today. And check out the site, people. There's a lot of reading material there and a couple of daggy photos to boot. Now, thanks to our guests today, Gillian Anderson, all our gladiators, and, of course, Andrew, who beat the Beasley. We'll be back tomorrow with, well, it's a return visit from Mark Thompson, the author of Blokes and Sheds, the foremost authority on the backyard shed in this big brown land. That'll be tomorrow. And until then, if you can't say something intelligent, come talk to us.